Hey guys, yeah, normal stuff. Facebook, we're there. We have a group. We have a website. So follow us. We appreciate it. And leave us reviews on iTunes. I haven't said that enough lately, but you know, your reviews keep us fresh and show that people are still interested in our podcast. So it really does help us. So go to iTunes or Google Play or Spotify or however you listen to this and make sure that you're giving us a thumb up now and again. This week on Myopia Defend Your Childhood, we learned that Christopher Lloyd needs money. Please give him money. We watched Baby Geniuses. I accept your pity.
They may look innocent. But if you think babies don't know what's going on,
give me the light wrench! I'm a devil!
They're going to give you an education.
So what we hear is baby talk.
Tit, tat, and social.
He's actually conversation.
Don't have a cow, Basil.
Your syntax is atrocious.
It's because he watches television all the time.
We just don't understand them.
And if Dr. Kinder has her way, they're genius. Will be her claim to fame.
Every child will be educated in the Kinder method.
Either you're with her or with us.
This is Dr. Kinder we're talking about, not Dr. Frankenstein.
Decide.
Let's kick butt!
He's out.
You idiots!
Yeah! TriStar Pictures presents...
We're gonna train.
We're going on a train!
Yeah! Hold it!
The story of what can happen... when babies know too much, speak too well.
I gotta get a disguise.
Yeah.
Yo, yo, yo.
Smoking.
And get a little too big for their diapers.
Get the baby!
Whoa, you're the one, baby!
Get ready. Naps are history.
I don't know what you're feeding that kid, but we're gonna get some.
Kathleen Turner, Christopher Lloyd, Kim Cattrall, and Ally McBeal's Peter McNichol. Baby geniuses.
Have you said dada yet?
Nah, that's so stupid.
Say it, you'll go nuts.
Okay.
Dada!
The Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast delivers the latest sci-fi news, plus movie and TV reviews with brilliant and insightful commentary. If you haven't listened to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast before, you will listen to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast now.
What, you think you're some kind of Jedi waving your hand around like that?
Watto, I'm telling everyone to listen to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will, including you.
No, they won't. I'm a Toystarian. My tricks don't work on me. Only money.
Okay, I don't have money, but please listen to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. Sci-fi, from a certain point of view.
Welcome to Myopia Defend Your Childhood. This week we watched Baby Geniuses, the Christmas movie that makes Christmas with the Cranks look like Citizen Kane. I'm Nick Hoffman, editor-in-chief of Dude Letter, and our defendant tonight was...
Abby.
And our panel is...
Steve-O.
What?
And...
Matthew W. Quinn of The World According to Quinn.
Sorry, I'm still recovering.
You'll never recover.
We should just refer to metal things that are better than this.
Forks.
Actually, literally anything made of metal.
Anything made of metal, yeah.
I was watching Gotham and there's a guy who sews pennies into people. Those pennies are probably better than most of this.
Yeah.
Before we get too far into this, so, you know, Abby, this was your movie. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Everyone loved it. It was the best movie ever.
So I was stifled.
But was this as memorable?
So I remembered three things from this movie. One was the giant animatronic baby.
Nailed it.
The other was the putting on the Ritz montage, I guess we're calling that, where there was terrible CGI baby dancing. And the little like world that they lived in where they had little egg houses in the secret lab. No other name, just the secret lab.
For secret.
There is nothing redeemable about this movie. It is anything that could have been good was ruined by terrible CGI, and they used the diaper gravy joke like what, four times? Three times?
Oh, it was a treatment. It was a triptych of baby jokes. Like, had it been any other phrase, it would have been almost like breathtaking. But like, it's one of these things. It's like, and there's comedy royalty in this. Like, Dom DeLuise is in here slumming it. I don't know what food stampy check he needed to cash, but like, this is rough.
I really think that the ending, where it ended with a montage that just summarized the movie and then ended on
a Gerber commercial,
yeah, and then ended on a freeze frame, was really the best.
With the end over the kid's ass.
I was wondering if that was made a bunch of outtakes from the movie they set to a country song.
Oh, yes. We forgot
Randy
the country
Travis.
Song.
Oh,
it was, I think. Half the stuff in the montage was not good enough to make the actual film, well, so they just threw it in at the end.
And I don't know if the director just went like, the new Patton Oswalt bit has this thing, like, you know that a woman is ready to be president because if you've loved a movie ever, a man directed it, but a woman had to edit it. So a man was just shooting footage, and a woman made it into a movie. The editor who made this movie deserves a Nobel Prize. Because can you imagine dealing with toddlers running around like this and then weaving together a narrative? Like, Dom DeLuise and Peter McNichol must have been on set for 72 hours. Like, because the rest of it is dealing with these toddlers with probably blue duct tape over their mouth to make the CGI work, right?
They had this, like, they tried to make a plot out of this secret toddler agenda where they're all smarter than us and know all the secrets to life. And it was just so poorly done that half the people at the end of the movie were like, wait, what? They crossed over? What just happened? What's going on?
Yeah, there's this weird John Edwards crossing over thing, which is, once a baby can learn how to speak, it loses all of the innate knowledge, which is a psychological concept that got defunct, what, in the 19th century?
I guess.
Like, this is like tabula rasa crap.
Yes.
From like 2,000 years ago.
So it's actually based on something significant.
Yes.
A scientific theory.
Yeah, this is pre-Aristotelian psychology that came back up in early pre-psychology in the 19th century. Like, that's a thing.
They actually put some thought into that then.
No, they did not.
No.
No, sure.
They absolutely did not. This is like that Robin Williams movie Toys. They're like, this is a high-level critique on the military-industrial complex. No. It's a cute idea with Toys.
Come on, at least Toys had LL Cool J.
Playing a white man's son.
Yeah.
The only cool, like, that was cool. At least that was cool set design. It was cool cinematography. This was just like, someone thought they were so freaking clever. At least in Baby's Day Out, the baby doesn't say anything.
I just wanted them to name the lab. Why is it just Secret Lab?
You know what we needed? I mean, Kathleen Turner was fine, and Christopher Lloyd as Vlad Lenin was fine. We almost needed a Dr. Claw just tapping, like, wrapping his fingers going, good, good, the babies. And, like, I mean, it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, with Shredder just going, oh no, they're babies! Like, it's just so stupid.
They're babies! And this movie's all about them.
Oh, it's just so bad.
So who of you can hit me with some plot? Because I think I watched this whole thing, and I don't know what happened.
All right, I'll do it.
Was there
one? It turns out mad scientist Kathleen Turner, who I actually thought was Murphy Brown.
It's not Candace Bergen. No.
Had, at one point, as adopted under false pretenses a bunch of babies into her corporate lab. At one point, had a set of twins, one of which she gave to her niece to raise. And the other one is being raised in the lab as part of a double-blind study. And said one of the twins is very smart, is always trying to escape. In the beginning of the movie, you think something really dangerous has gotten out of containment, and there are all these soldiers running around and stuff, and then you cut to the same shot of this baby running. They use like four times. And then the baby, Sly, gets out again and gets switched with his twin by accident at the mall. And
so the twin's name is Wit, and they should have been Sly and Frank instead of Sly and Wit. But that's just me liking bad movies.
Maybe that was a nod to Oscar-nominated screenwriter Whit Stillman.
There were so
many. So you're giving them credit for more intelligence they deserve, too, just like me.
There were so many nods to so many movies. They used, like, the Mission Impossible theme and the music from The Great Escape. And
they had that whole montage sequence was right out of classics like Mrs. Doubtfire and other child-based molestation movies.
They tried so hard.
And I could swear when Kathleen Turner yells Sly, they're ripping off on Star Trek. Yo, Khan! Sly!
Yeah, I think the least believable part of this movie was the showdown between a middle-aged woman and a toddler, but that's just me. Yeah.
A middle-aged woman who was dressed to look like Hillary Clinton the whole time.
Her hair went up and sideways. It was very confusing.
No, I mean, literally, if you had slotted that same costume into SNL, it would have been a mid-90s Hillary Clinton sketch. Like, yep. That's not hyperbole. It's not... This is the election season for 2016. No, it was a Hillary Clinton proxy, which is a psychological condition as well. We should talk about the other household. Peter McNichol and what's the woman's name?
Kim Cattrall.
Is it Kim Cattrall? Okay, yep. Kim Cattrall, fresh off Super Mario Brothers.
Mario Brothers, Big Trouble in Little China, and now this. What is she? What movies hasn't she been in we've done?
Well, I guess Sex and the City is next. But regardless, they have their own baby house and they're raising babies in kind of a more Benjamin Spock kind of compassionate, let the kids explore. And
they're still researching them, though.
Well, I mean,
and what's his name? The husband believes that babies can talk, and everybody's just like, yeah, okay, you just keep researching that. We'll just keep funneling money into this hole.
This is the live action Rugrats, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is.
The babies can talk. They're scheming the whole time. The dad's like a scientist type, and he's convinced the babies can talk, but not quite sure. We just need a little, like, Pratt, that, like, yeah, Angelica
character. That's what this movie needed.
Basil, maybe, the baby who's in the mole for Dr. Kinder.
Maybe that's what they were trying to do with Ice Pick.
Ice Pick. I thought Ice Pick was actually pretty funny. You know, he starts out with, like, being his rapper wannabe. He becomes a Buddhist monk.
He did nothing.
I'm not really sure who he actually was.
His purpose was make the movie 3.5 minutes longer. Yeah. I mean, and then Dom DeLuise as the... What was he?
Like, handyman?
I think he was a handyman, and Ice Pick was his son.
And, like, babysitter, too, though. Like, because he's watching the kids, and then there's, like, the nanny who's kind of around, but sometimes disappears for whole chunks of the movie. Well, I mean, like Jeremy said, the problem is there's not really a plot until the last third act. They need to bring these kids together, kind of. Just, like, the smallest slender... Yeah, no, it's weird.
You think if they had two acts to explain the plot, we'd understand it a little bit better. But no.
Also, when you describe the giant anthropomorphic animatronic baby
This is like the parasites in Wrath of Khan. I really thought it was a larger part of the movie.
The dancing baby from the internet come to life. And it was terrifying.
Oh, it was an Ally McBeal like episode.
It did have a bit of an uncanny valley thing going, at least at first.
Well, and like to me, I thought there would have been more to him taking it over. But he just goes up into the booth and is like, buttons! And he can suddenly speak English, but that doesn't immediately make him dumb, but it was supposed to.
Eventually, I don't know. The scarier thing
maybe
was
that's
the...
explained in the sequel. I don't know.
The animatronic clown with a, like, stick full of chattering teeth? That I don't remember.
Yeah, the clown from It shows up in this movie as himself.
Helps the babies this time, though, instead of the adults, I guess.
Yeah, no, that was something that happened. It can't unhappen. I don't know. Well, I mean, Matt, we kind of interrupted you during the plot. Is there more plot?
Yeah, and then she realizes they've been discovered, so she tries to smuggle all the babies to Lichtenstein.
Which exists. It's a place.
Yeah, and so
that's all I got. I mean,
the babies hypnotize Dom DeLuise to take a bus them to bus them to Baby Co. to rescue the others from not Murphy Brown,
Kathleen Turner.
Yeah,
well, the hypnotizing thing was weird.
Well, the hypnotizing, like, I want so badly to be something more to this plot. Like, is this like an anti-corporate screen? Not really. Kid Co barely factors into this at all. Like, is it a like child psychology thing? No, not really. It's, they even make Scientology jokes, kind of. Like,
so here's my,
not as much as Bedazzled, but
my observation of the theme of this movie was to capitalize on every bad obvious joke possible, and I think the movie's existence was that. We've got a really bad, awful opportunity. Let's jump on that immediately. So that is exactly what I'm
saying. It's an unintentional ad for birth control. That's what I
thought. Jeremy stood up and goes, I'm getting a vasectomy. So
some of those jokes are pretty funny. Like the one where he wants to tell the boy baby tells the girl to take off her clothes. And she's like, aren't you going to buy me dinner first?
Lots of toddler sex jokes. That's terrible.
That's a molestation joke.
And then when they've switched clothing, she's like, call me.
Matt, no, molestation is not funny. This so is not bad. Okay.
So many toddler sex jokes. Not good.
Well, I mean, like, to me, okay, so we've talked about this before, but, like, if you've ever watched a comedy with little kids, like I'm talking, like, 4 or 5-year-olds, they learn the rhythm of jokes, like, wah-wah-wah-wah-wah, and then the kids laugh, because like, that's what this was. In fact, there's even a Three Stooges bit where Sly goes, like, hits a kid, and he goes, wah-wah-wah, and the guy Mo Howard's out. Like, it's really, it's something. Like, and so even the jokes that, you know, get a genuine kind of smile, it's not even their joke. It turns into a Chaplin bit for 30 seconds. Or, again, a child rape joke, which is uncomfortable, but it was maybe the best scene in the movie.
Everybody was tangibly uncomfortable during the toddler sex joke. It was so bad.
It was the obvious joke, and they did not shy away from it, folks.
What was the diaper truck? Poopy truck?
Yeah, it was like poop.
Poopy diapers.
There we go. Yeah.
And like Abby said earlier, the word diaper gravy is said far too many times. Well, the problem is, it was the only original joke in there. The writer said, hey, that's pretty great. And he goes, every time I use it, they have to pay me $50. So control save nailed it. I mean, just copy and paste it. That's it. We're done. The third act, it wasn't so bad to be clever. I think that's the worst part, really.
It took itself too seriously, I think, and which is weird because it kind of made fun of itself at times, but it didn't feel consistent enough to feel like it really had taken a step back. It felt like it was way too serious for me.
Well, I mean, and to wit, I guess, you know, when Abby suggested...
I see what you did there.
All right. Yeah. I mean, you know, Abby's last big selection, and hearing this, I guess, was Spy Kids. That's a movie that didn't take itself seriously at all, and it works much better for it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it really does, because the plot is just as silly. There's giant anthropomorphic items for no reason that wallow around.
Thumb men.
But at the same time, the premise is so silly that it fits much nicer. And the kids are older, so it seems much more absurd. Because this is kid power in that really cloying Nickelodeon 90s way. Mm-hmm. Spy Kids isn't that. It's making fun of all that. So it's much more tolerable here. Like, the idea that a 3-year-old can kick the crap out of 5 grown men.
The exact same technique each time. Aha, I'm not dumb enough to get the ski through the crotch.
Let's make the joke a second time in case people weren't paying attention.
Like,
the
only difference, do it again.
The only difference is literally that the kid has a different tag. It's not even the same. It's the same setup. There's no difference other than the tag at the end, which is equally stupid both times.
Yes, it was.
Speaking of Teletubbies, to defend my defendant page, all of the other movies I've defended, I either saw as like a teenager or as like a preteen with my younger siblings. This movie I actually saw when it came out in what, 2000? So I saw it when I was like 8 and remembered the tuxedo scene. Like,
so I was in 10th grade in 2000.
You taught high school, I was in high school.
Yeah.
I was graduating high school in 2000.
Oh.
Yeah, one of Abby's friends I taught when I was teaching high school.
Friend
years.
Is a strong word.
Okay, fine. One of her lovers.
Yes, that is the word I was looking for.
I was about to say something like that. Good job.
High school.
Good job. Thanks, man.
Jolly good, mate.
Oh, ho, 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 ho. That strumpet Abby.
So anyway, I sat through everybody else's movies that were only redeemable because of their family memories.
This is honestly why I don't defend anything anymore. However, you know, to the points we made earlier, I don't know if this movie was as bad as Incompetent. Like, because we've watched a lot of movies that thought they were much more than this, that were unwatchable. This is more of, like, the problem is this, if this was five episodes of a TV show or something, it would have been something to see. But this is like, let's make the same joke that we made 20 minutes ago, because it worked the last time.
Wait for Baby Geniuses 3, which is actually a bunch of episodes of a TV show that never aired in the United States glued together.
Where did it air?
Italy and the Far East. And I didn't say what country, just said the Far East.
This is the mysterious Far East.
Someone's been on Wikipedia. Or was it TV Tropes?
It was Wikipedia this time.
I feel like we could have put this on in the background once we were all drunk and everybody would have been like, ha! But watching it while beginning to drink was not our best decision.
No, no. You know what this is? This is a Jimmy Fallon sketch where he voices over as the babies, right? Because the audio is just atrocious, but he would have been like, I'm so hungry. And like, that's all it is. It's practically a South Park bit.
Would it be Horatio Sands instead of Dom DeLuise?
Oh, absolutely. The woman would have been Amy Poehler instead of Kathleen Turner. And then she could have been much more frazzled. Although, it's essentially her character from Black Dynamite. I'm actually okay with this redesign.
Anything would have made this better.
How about the third act turning into a Jurassic Park, kind of?
It was. There are a lot of animatronic things.
So we have 25 more minutes to
fill. Do we?
we can just do a montage of all the earlier bits.
to the tune of I Will Remember You or whatever that horrible song they play for the I almost said NAACP for the ASPCA.
I will remember you.
And it just a slide down into here's three. Something.
I have not seen Peter McNichol in a movie since that 80s movie Dragon Slayer, and he was about 20. And yet here he is.
We did Ghostbusters 2 on this podcast, too. He was the one who summons Viggo the Carpathian. It's Viggo.
Well, he in this movie looks like Will Ferrell from Elf without the hat.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, it filled a minute or two.
Well, okay, so Peter McNichol is fine. And actually, it's weird to not see him in a sillier role. Dom DeLuise should have done more, but he's funny just by laughing until he wheezes into a near state of epilepsy. And Christopher Lloyd was not in it enough, frankly. Even though he was essentially the same character as he is in Who Framed Roger Rabbit without the freakout scene at the end.
He was clearly not good at picking henchmen, though. They passed his the strictest security clearance, but still couldn't catch a baby.
Yeah, like the entire legion of the Emperor's finest troops on Endor who run into difficulties from teddy bears. Homeless, drug-addicted Care Bears. That's the latest fan theory on Ewoks.
Oh, I like Ewoks. They're so fuzzy.
Well, if you need incompetent, frail white men who can't fight babies, we know where to find your henchmen.
Baby Co.
After
this, after the revelation that they are illegally adopting children for medical experiments, all those guys need jobs now, so.
But the laundry lady knows that they need to recompile their code.
Hang on a second. These laundry folk. Seriously?
You don't mean laundry folk, you mean diaper gravy folk. No,
they're being paid 10 times the market rate for janitors because these people are ninjas and they know some shit.
And they pass the strictest security.
And they passed the strictest, exactly what she said. But the henchmen, these dudes are worthless.
So bad.
Why didn't they just hire more janitors? They were amazing.
Their power excuse to get in the house where one of the babies is hiding was pretty good, though. They were just like, "We're gonna need to see your hookup," and the nanny was like, "All right, go hang out with the babies."
Your electronics, ma'am, and they just let her in.
Then he made some creepy comment about, "Oh yeah, leave me alone with the babies," and the guy was like, "Okay," and like walked off.
Whackity smackity do, and you have Ruby D in there as a woman with 10 lines after . This movie is just...
I guess Ossie Davis didn't leave her much after he kicked.
And Bob Clark directed this. Like, who... The guy who made A Christmas Story and Porky's made a baby movie. Like, he's just sliding younger and younger as he goes.
That might explain some of the jokes.
Yeah.
It's the same guy who did Porky's.
He also did A Christmas Story.
I mean, this movie was also set in Christmas, and the last movie he did was, quote, The Karate Dog.
I think he had to do...
What is that movie? We should have watched that Karate instead. Karate Dog.
Nice.
Also a John Voight production.
Oh, that thumbnail is great.
He's holding up a police badge.
He's so good. He's so good at karate.
You do realize at one point we're going to have to do Air Buddies or whatever.
No, I will not be here for that.
Pat Morita was also in Karate Dog, which is so sad. Mr. Miyagi, and his character is Chun-Li. I'm done. Jamie Presley's in there. I know. It's one of these things, like, the rule is a movie should never mention a better movie during it because that's, like, immediate points off. You know, if you're watching, you know, Kung Fu Hustle or... Well, actually, Kung Fu Hustle is fine. That's a bad example. If you're watching Beverly Hills Ninja and they reference, like, Legend of the Drunken Master, that's a crime. That's a sin.
That is bad.
This whole movie is based on parodies of better movies, but there's no Leslie Nielsen in sight, so it's a shame. Even though there is a Chris Lloyd, which is probably worse.
And Christopher Lloyd is a balding Lennon lookalike.
You know what? I think this is fine. We can cut this.
Classic. I mean, honestly,
we don't have anything else.
Well, no. How many obvious product placements were there? Because I remember Baskin Robbins.
Oh, there were like five or six or ten.
When you pointed out when you pointed out Baskin Robbins, we then listed off another 30 they had actually mentioned by name, including Sony, like many, many times. Little Tykes was in the scene when you said Baskin Robbins.
The koala bear changing stations.
Yeah, yes. They had all sorts of
and
stuff.
And in fact, if I recall, the baby changing station was in the laundry room, not where they were changing babies.
Made sense.
And also, they when they have the police leaving the station, when they call them a bomb threat, it seems like they have the LAPD logo kind of prominently displayed.
Now, considering they were in L.A., I don't think the LAPD paid for that sponsorship. I could be wrong. Now, if they were
offered to pay to take their name off of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, now, if they were in Chicago and the LAPD showed up, that might have been product placement. Macy's was also in every scene, but you have to look for it. Sometimes the Macy's logo was dancing around. Sometimes it was in the guise of a blonde baby. It was just a woman named Macy. Yeah. This is not nearly as bad as some product placement.
That's true.
Like the Ninja Turtles movie where they make the chair out of Domino's pizza, and now Pizza Hut pizza boxes. Although they're CGI now, so they're much lighter.
I also don't think the LAPD would have wanted this as advertisement since they didn't prosecute the woman that called in a very scary bomb threat.
The LAPD police have an actual union for the ones who show up in movies.
There was that helicopter battle where they just basically forced the helicopter back down.
I don't know if that's how helicopters work.
I don't think the helicopter moved the whole time.
The one didn't. The other one was flying over in a bad two shot.
No, it went up so the guy could fall and hit his head, and then it went back down so that everybody else could get off easily.
Yeah,
because of all the roof dumpsters.
Turn them on.
I think we established it was a parking garage, so at least that kind of makes sense, I guess.
And then it turned into Blues Brothers.
I wish. That would have been better.
You mean ending as a musical number?
No, anything. Any other movie.
Hey, audience. How you doing? How you doing, girl?
Great.
That right there was funnier than anything in Baby Geniuses.
Okay, guys, we can call this. So we're going to go around the table, and we're going to give final judgments. We'll just go kind of counterclockwise around. Matt, what did you think?
Don't bother. There are a couple funny jokes in there, but not enough to save the movie. So, yeah, find something else to do with your time. Your time has value. Life is too short.
Words of wisdom.
depressing wisdom. Jeremy, what do you got?
I think the only comfort I take in having watched this is I only had to watch it for 90 minutes. Someone had to take months to actually make it.
Oh, wow. Some editors that had to watch each scene.
Again, I'm telling you, like, there's some editor who killed himself soon after.
Jeremy, you're not dead. The end credits happened and you're not dead.
I'm dead on the inside.
Oh, okay, perfect.
Are you sure that was the result of this move?
Listeners, you can't see it, but I'm actually in the fetal position right now.
We mic'd him up.
Worse than that, it's like Weekend at Bernie's 2. The movie killed him, but we needed someone to set a panel with us.
because everybody else started suddenly speaking Spanish when I asked if they would be on the podcast.
Yeah, we watched this with a group of 20 people, and everyone was like, and I'm like, well, I guess I have to technically be on it. Candace's impersonation of me just didn't stick.
All right, Steve-O, what do you got for us?
I've got nothing to add. There's no reason to see this movie. Just spare yourself the hour and a half.
The $5 I spent on this seems wasted now.
Tax write off.
I'll pay you back.
No, it's fine. I can deduct this from my tax. As someone who makes money off this podcast, 7 cents. Thank you.
Yeah, 7 cents you didn't have before.
That's exactly right. Abby. Hey, girl.
That's 90 minutes I'll never get back. I'm glad I watched it at least once more so that I could never watch it again. I just feel like I have exacted my revenge for having been forced to watch everybody else's movie at this point.
Is this closure for you, Amy?
Yes, it is.
This is that moment where you confront the ghost
revenge
and you
for
can
Jumanji.
Finally put it to rest.
Oh, man, I wish Kelly was here so bad.
I know.
Any movies of mine you hated?
I don't think so.
So many.
I mean, you were just collateral damage. I'm
punish
so sorry.
Me, Abby. Punish me.
Oh, God,
ew,
no.
Ew, ew,
it's like
ew.
The toddler sex jokes all over again. Oh, diaper gravy.
Diaper gravy.
Okay, so I guess I'll wrap this all up. This was like when I was a kid and I would babysit people and they'd be watching things on like Nick Jr. And there's like, they thought there was a joke. There wasn't a joke. You know
that
what I mean? Like,
movie.
That's what it was. They were like, what, what? And you're just like, and the thing is, like, I think all of us had one honest laugh or at least a good chuckle. And you would, whenever someone would do it, you'd look around the room and you're like, really? Are you freaking kidding me? But we all did it. Like, everyone had a joke that they laughed at. And I mean, at a certain point, you're just like, this isn't a movie. It's really like a bad series of sketches.
Yeah.
However, like, we watched worse things. It's just nothing has been this incompetent. I mean, honestly, like, the worst is if you have a grandiose idea. Like, because, and this is easy to pick on, like, Spawn is a bad movie.
Ooh.
But Spawn is something that has a plot. It's just poorly carried out. This doesn't even have a plot. This is really just like, what if the babies were playing Legos, but they were actually talking the whole time because the kid was making some sort of nuclear bomb out of Diplodoc?
What if they lived in egg houses?
And that one baby had to be welded inside, but using some sort of ray gun, he was able to hack it, like the kid out of, I guess, Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
It's a tuna fog.
He didn't build an egg house out of 1,000 tons of mashed potatoes, though.
Oh my god, this movie just, nothing in it is more than an idea that lasted 45, like, this is literally, well, what can the babies actually do? Well, this one can kind of bob dance. Well, what if we did a montage of him bob dancing?
In a
Nick Jr.
There were in a so child-sized many, disco outfit.
There were so many parts of this where it was clearly not a child.
Like, no, like when all of a sudden they show up at a McNichols house and the kid turns into a full-grown man doing backflips. Yeah. And so, like, that means an adult man had the back of his hands shaved so it looked like baby hands, and they made him wear an oversized 80s talking head suit and then do backflips and then play with drill bits.
Yeah. Like the Rick and Morty character, but baby hands.
Tiny Rick!
Well, there was that movie where a midget thief masquerades as a baby to infiltrate someone's house.
I don't know, man.
Someone who made that sound like a ninja.
The Wayans Brothers movie?
Oh, Little Man. It is Little Man.
Yeah.
Baby legs.
Those aren't babies.
I'm going to party you with them regular legs. I don't think I should have a partner just because I have baby legs.
Oh, no. I'm falling behind. Don't worry, baby legs. I got them.
That interchange was better than this whole movie.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, we're having more fun in this podcast than we had in this movie.
But that means this is a good podcast with a lot of awkward dead air. However, we are out of time, so if you want to spend $4.99 and download this off Amazon, you can. I wouldn't. I never would. If you can imagine the scene from Toy Story where the creepy kid with the shaved head is playing with the dolls and he's like, let's play, and he's pretending to murder them, that's better than anything these babies do. Truth. And it's very similar acting between the dolls and the babies.
Yeah, lots of CGI.
Yeah, about the same amount, actually. Yeah. However, we are out of time. So tune in next week, this week, and every future week as we put a little bit more of your past on trial. Thanks, guys. Yeah.
Myopia Defend Your Childhood is produced by Dude Letter Podcasting. It's hosted by Nick Hoffman, produced and mixed by Ann Burns, and edited by Nick Hoffman. Our graphic designer is Scott Miller. The theme song is Caroline, written and performed by The Serenaders. Purchase their music through the Amazon link on dudeletter.com. Questions or comments? Please visit myopiapodcast.com or contact us through myopiapodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, at Myopia Podcast and at Dude Letter, and find us on our Facebook, Stitcher, and iTunes pages. And while you're on iTunes, please rate and review our podcast. It helps us out a lot. Want to give us money? Go to myopiapodcast.com/Amazon and purchase stuff like normal. Myopia gets a piece of the action.
We're also brought to you this week by Baby Co., an example of the worst name ever, and the screenwriter should have failed his screenwriting class. Sigh. Tune in next time and every future time when I put another little piece of your past on trial. Thanks, guys.
Wake up, producer. You gotta stop the recording now.